Yo, this is BJ Gador with the BJ Gador Podcast, and on today's episode, I'm breaking down the program design for all of the workouts featured for the month of August 2023, Year of Our Lord, at the DailyBJ.com site and app. So we'll be sharing all the creator details, the behind the scenes, what I thought about when I was putting these workouts together, progressing as we have on previous month's content to keep pushing things to the next level. We are entering now August, the dog days of summer. In fact, I want you to go to sleevessoldseparately.com right now, sign up for the free newsletter, because for the next couple weeks, we're going to be featuring an item each day to put on sale, the dog days of summer sale. So if you've never gotten anything from us before, it is the best men's athleisure line in the game. We manufacture in downtown LA. These are the custom fits for people that do my workout programming, that really put in the work for their whole body, not just a single part of their body, their whole body, right? We got shorts, we got hoodies, we got tank tops, we got joggers, okay? We got gym and swim trunks. So great stuff to check out there. We have the best flex tee or t-shirt in the game. So be sure to check that out. Get those sales activated. And if you're not a member of the DailyBJ.com, shame! Shame on you. This is the best and most complete home fitness program on the market. I don't need you to tell me that. I know it is. I've done the research, and frankly, I've done the work. 2 decades plus in the game. I train from home, unlike all these other people that actually have to go to gyms because they don't have the discipline to actually train at home themselves, okay? Shots fired! No, but seriously, I actually do these workouts at home, okay? You know, I feel like authenticity, credibility is, it used to be important, now it doesn't fucking matter. But anyway, these are incredible workouts, and as part of what we do this year in 2023, I've got two main tracks here, right? We've got Gorilla Corn Gains. That's my advanced muscle gain program for rare beasts. A little more strength and muscle gain focus, obviously. The only additional equipment required is really pull-up and dip bars. And then we have Express, which is, you know, fast, fun, and effective workouts for busy parents and professionals, more fat loss, metabolic conditioning focused. So, you know, that's kind of the two options there. And Gorilla Corn Gains, by the way, it uses the upper body, lower body, and core workouts each month, plus all the Express routine. So it's kind of shred meets gains. It combines for more, you know, 3 40-minute workouts per week instead of 3 20-minute workouts per week. So again, more time, more commitment, but also the next level. You will see more muscle gain, more strength gain, more performance gain with the Gorilla Corn Gains track. So that's just how that works. Now you can get a free 7-day trial at thedailybj.com anytime. Test Drive Express. In fact, I actually have the first month, even if you're, once you activate a free trial, if you are a subscriber or an Express member, if you want to try out the first month of Gorilla Corn Gains, you can do so right now within the app. GG 1, 2, and 3, the first upper body, lower body, and core workouts of the year. And again, like, you got to start with month one in these programs. These are progressive programs. We keep laying bricks. Every month, we keep climbing higher and higher each month based on this foundation we're building in month one, but also in subsequent months as well. So you can jump in anytime, but just test drive it for free. See if it's for you. So that's one thing I wanted to put in there because, again, it just, this is, this at the end of this year, this will without a doubt be the best version or the best iteration of what I've done in my career, period, in terms of, you know, putting together really progressive systemic workouts that are time efficient. They're done for you. There's instructional and follow-along components. It looks like a DVD, each workout. I mean, it's really just, it's got such a great polish on it. I'm really proud of what we put together here. And regardless of how many people are doing it, you know, that's part of what is important if you're a creator. You know, you can't control, yeah, you can control your marketing efforts and, you know, what you put into your product, etc. But you know, all I can really do is make the best possible workouts I can today, each month. And I feel like we're accomplishing that throughout this year. So really proud of what we're putting together. You can get a free 7-day trial to check it out. And if Gorilla Corn Gains is too much for you, you can just start with Express. In fact, we do recommend 1 year of Express under your belt before jumping into, you know, Gorilla Corn Gains. It's really a graduate program for our veteran members of the DailyBJ.com. And if you do sign up through your desktop or laptop first at thedailybj.com, then go ahead and download the app, the Daily BJ app in the iTunes store or the Android store, whether you have Apple or Android. So just want to give you a heads up there. So let me go through the workouts right now. I'm going to start with Grillicorn Gains, three of those workouts, and then six Express workouts. Each month you get, you know, nine total new routines based on if you are a Grillicorn Gains member. Express, you get six. So here we go. GG19, upper body workout. All right, the goals here, we're trying to bulletproof the elbows and shoulders, grow the forearms, biceps, and triceps, and prep for advanced push-up and pull-up work. So, you know, this is a real challenging routine. And we're using, in particular, a technique called EQIs in this workout that's going to really test your focus and overall motor control. EQI stands for eccentric quasi-isometrics. And essentially what it is, it's a really slow tempo. I mean, it's extended. And what we're trying to do is not only lower slowly for about 90 seconds over the course of a single repetition, but we're using distinct isometric pauses along the way. And the way isometrics work, and I've mentioned this before, but again, I always have to pretend like this is the first time someone's listening to do good coaching. Even if you're just holding at a particular angle, isometric strength grows 15 degrees above and below that angle. And if we're stopping along all these angles along the way in the rep, we're basically fortifying the entire range of motion in a single repetition. So it's actually joint training, and it's really easy on the joints, but it's very, very great for triggering new muscle growth and essentially just developing flawless form, which is the foundation of all gains, form, technique. So that's just kind of an overview on that. Stay light, put your ego to the side, and do the best you can with it. It's going to really expose a lot of weaknesses. And that is, you know, on the other side of being exposed with weaknesses are gains, strength gains, right? So here we go. The way this is set up, I start the workout with a really good kind of band pump for the arms. I want to flood a lot of blood into the arms and the elbows in particular. You know, the biggest limiting factor for most people in upper body training is the shoulders, but the elbow is the next. And obviously the wrist is important as well from a mobility standpoint, but a lot of people end up getting elbow pain. The elbow essentially functions like the knee for the upper body. You know, it's a hinge joint, and if there isn't enough mobility, strength, and symmetry proportion around that joint, and or you never give it any love with massage, mobility, etc., you know, it starts to bark at you. So I really wanted to emphasize, you know, hitting the weaker muscles of the arms, which tend to be the forearms. And also when it comes to the triceps, you know, I look at the first exercise, the band underhand grip triceps pushdown. Doing underhand grip tricep pushdowns targets the inner or medial head of the tricep. I look at that kind of like the VMO or the lower quad teardrop muscle of the knee. It tends to be weaker and smaller compared to the other muscles. And when that gets out of balance, you will get elbow pain. So we're trying to really emphasize that. And again, bands are just a great way to get that mind-muscle connection. The hardest part with any muscle that is lagging or stubborn body parts is you just don't have a mind-muscle connection there. You can't even give it a pump or a burn. And if that's not the case, then you'll never grow it. So if you identify any of these muscles along the way, great thing to add to your off day recovery workouts too. And again, bands are just easy to recover from. So a little underhand grip, tricep pushdown, and we're doing one side at a time so you can really focus on the range of motion and the form of technique. And then overhand grip, band curls, really trying to get the forearm muscles and you know, ultimately just fortify that whole elbow joint and just, you know, great little less than 5 minute pump and warm up so you're ready to go for the harder exercises to come, especially the ones that use dumbbells. The dead weight movements require a little more warm up because, you know, they can be a little more joint intensive. So then we go into this superset of the EQIs I talked about with overhead triceps extensions and incline bicep curls. The goal here is, because of this unique tempo, we're trying to really put the joints under the best possible stretch. So in the case of the triceps, we're going with the weight overhead. And this one really, for me, I really had to work on this one because my right arm moves it. It tends to want to move at a different rate on the eccentric portion than my left. So, you know, if you want to use a mirror, you can. If you want to kind of keep your gaze up a little bit, you can. If you want to film yourself, you can. And again, just know it's going to take some time on this. If it's really off, it's not going to be fixed in three workouts. it's something you have to continue to work on, but we do want to get that symmetry. It's very important when you're lowering weights that they lower evenly, you know, because again, at some point you reach your limiting load and you're not going to be able to execute the rep if one side is moving at a different speed than the other. It just throws off everything. So really getting the long head of the triceps, which attach into the scapula, you really only can hit that with overhead work. But it really develops some nice arms. And the incline bicep curl, using a incline bench or a stability ball or big med ball, we kind of set up laying back against it in kind of a modified bridge, if you will, but it allows the bells to sink lower. And at the bottom of it, you're really stretching the biceps and the shoulders. And again, just trying to go really slow and even all the way down. And then we go into our single-sided progressions we've been working, trying to get, you know, progressing into, you know, single arm push up and single arm rowing or pulling exercises with body weight. And we're doing uneven push ups and uneven towel grip rows. And you'll do one arm the whole set. And these are extended tensions, 90 second work periods here. So you might have to rest, pause. And the goal is you want to put as much eccentric stress as possible into this. So, you know, take at least 35 seconds to go down. Keep as much of the weight as possible onto the arm that is a designated work arm for that period of time. And we've done uneven push-ups before, but what I'm trying to do is really, really get some extended time and retention on this, get you guys ready for more of the archer and more advanced single-arm push-up progressions to come in the, you know, final few months of the program. And then with the row, we're using a towel grip, meaning so the bar hand is the work arm, the towel hand is the assisting arm, and the lower you grab in the towel, the less you can assist. There's a mechanical disadvantage there, but you're also still working that arm in a way, you're developing that kind of crush grip strength. Towel gripping is one of my favorite ways. It's actually easy on the elbows, but really good for the fingers and the hands for dexterity, which is the limiting factor on most gripping, right? So I think we really enjoy that sequence. And then we finish with the fantastic EQI dip and chin-up superset. Again, single rep, going down from top to bottom for 90 seconds. Every 5 seconds, so basically you're stopping, and the way I describe it in the video too, there's an instructional, then a follow-along for all the videos we do this year, and also last year for at least Express. But anyway, you start at the top, you lower slowly, and then you pause for 5 seconds. You lower slowly again, you pause for 5 seconds. And again, you're trying to make that last for the full 90. It's such a test, though, finishing with the dip and the chin-up. So you might have to use self-assistance with your feet on the floor. That's absolutely fine. Make sure, you know, you are getting what you need out of the workout. If you know there's no way you can lower for 90 seconds on this, you know, technically, yes, you could do 2 reps of 45 seconds or 3 reps of 30 seconds to fill the 90 seconds. That's fine. But also, it's okay to put the feet down because, again, you're going to be really fatigued at this point. This is just to seal it in. This is a nice little stability finisher. You get a great pump, and it's going to just show you where you are right now with your dip and your chin-up, right? We did a lot of single-arm stuff, so we go to double-arm to kind of finish it off. But again, you're not going to be fresh. But that's okay. This is going to really show you where you're at. And by the way, you know, in terms of your daily mobility or EHO, something like a single rep of an EQI and a dip or chin-up, that's a nice thing to mix into the rotation. Easy on the joints. It's generally easy to recover from. And again, it's just something you can constantly work on your form and technique. So amazing 20-minute upper body workout I think you'll really enjoy. The next routine here for the Grillicorn Gains is GG20 lower body. So we're trying to master the lunge and build the VMOs. We're bulletproofing the knees and improving gait, or that's your walk-run performance. And we're fixing imbalances between sides. If you've followed me for any length of time, you know that single-sided training, single-leg training, is the hallmark of what we do. It allows us to constantly be maintaining mobility, strength, and stability between sides. If there are imbalances, it means that you are going to be susceptible to injury, both acute and chronic. It also allows lighter loads to go longer way to make your body weight feel like heavyweight, and you know, ultimately putting your back and your knees in a better position. So I'm just a huge fan of single leg training, especially at home. But again, I think a lot of people, and I don't know what's the right way to do it marketing wise. Like, I think a lot of people are so turned off by home workouts because of the pandemic, or just are just not interested in anything related to the concept of home workouts, though they can take these workouts and do them at the gym. My gym workouts would be the same as my home workouts. I'm just being truthful, because they're just the safest way to do it, and they're easy on the body. It's just, they're longevity focused routines. So, you know, and again, like, I make a living with my body. I depend on my body to do all the stuff we need to do for our business. And these are the routines and movements that I do to stay in the game, to stay available. So, you know, I guess take that as you will. Take that as you will. Yeah, I sometimes laugh because I see all the really successful things in fitness. They're all like cults. They're all cult leaders. They're trying to indoctrinate you in their specific way of doing things. Then they try to get a bunch of different coaches that are, frankly, I guess, unable to kind of build their own system. They need someone else to tell them exactly what to do, that kind of follow the dogma, and they just, it's an indoctrination, okay? I'm just sharing what I do. I don't really care what you do, but this is what I do. And these are truly the most effective movements I've experienced for longevity. So, you know, take that as you will. It's definitely a non-traditional leg day to those that are used to going to the gym and leg pressing and barbell squatting and leg extensions and leg curls with machines and all that stuff, you know, starting with the elliptical or the, you know, look, they can go and do that. But all I'm telling you is right now, these are the most effective lower body routines I've ever experienced, and they can be done in 20 minutes, and they are very single-sided focused. So we start with an excellent, the way I set up this workout, the first 10 minutes are really kind of metabolic mobility focused. I'm trying to get as much blood into the knees as possible to prep you for what ends up being in the second 10-minute block for the full 20 minutes here, just 10 minutes of continuous lunging, changing the lunge variation every 2 minutes. So it's kind of building on the previous months. We kind of did a step-up version of this, kind of getting you ready for the lunging. Step-ups are a bit easier to start working on first. They give you a little more, they're a little more hip dominant to get you ready for the challenges that come with lunging. And basically, I have you setting up using ideally a pair of dip bars with both feet on the floor, and you focus initially on loading as much of your weight on the rear foot as possible for 2 minutes. And then after doing that on each side, you go to the front foot. So I actually, one of the biggest problems or that I've had, and again, I have to mention just because of my experience with this, you know, two knee surgeries on each knee, on each leg. By the time I was 22, was told that they were arthritic and that I could never squat, lunge, or run again, or I shouldn't, because of the damage done to my knees from the idiocy of load-focused powerlifting and just, you know, just what football just destroys your body. I mean, also your head. But anyway, I think we'll look back. It's going to be funny. Like in the year 2080, they'll be like, 100 years ago, people used to line up 300-pound men and they used to slam their heads together. And football is definitely one of those games. Rugby is even worse. I mean, there's no helmets and it's just crazy. But anyway, whatever gets people going. And I did it, and I've got the wear and tear to speak for it. But I noticed in a lot of my lunge training, my back knee, when my knee is, the knee in the back leg is the one that was most prone to pain. It was one point I couldn't even do a bodyweight lunge in my early 20s, just couldn't even do it. I could deadlift 500 pounds. I couldn't even do a bodyweight lunge. And it was usually my back knee would just like, I'd get sharp shooting, stabbing pain in that back knee. And obviously I've talked many times about how I built that up to doing 1 hour of continuous lunges progressively over time. But even still, you know, going really slow and feeling the weight shift as much as 70 to 80% on your back leg, you can really clean up those mechanics. And the self-assistance is the key. You're basically doing a simultaneous dip and split squat, and you're using as much upper body assistance as you need to be pain-free in these extreme joint angles and with this specific loading. Like, most people put too much weight, and myself included, on the front leg when doing single-sided training or split squat style training. So, typically it should be about 50-50 or at least 60-40 front back. But in this case, we're really loading up the back leg. And what you'll do is you really want to connect with the toes. All five toes have to be down and flexed. And you want to really focus on your big toe, keeping tension into the ground. And what you'll also notice is a lot of activation and heat coming around the knee in a good way, really getting those lower quads to provide stability to the knee. And then the front-focused version, still really focusing on the same, big toe and spread those toes big, grip the ground, get a good arc in the foot, and just make yourself feel those muscles work. And the video really shows this well, but I just wanted to give you an idea here. Like I've been doing that also heavy in my pre-walk warm-ups. I just end up having a much better walk. My knees have been feeling so much better from this overall. And I think you guys have really enjoyed the sequence. But like any of the stuff that's self-assisted, it's all about your technique. If you're not properly self-assisting, you'll be like, well, this is a stupid exercise. It might be a waste of my time. But you need to spend time in these movements. In a lot of cases, it takes about 30 to 60 seconds when it comes, especially mobility or muscle activation, to get to the point where you're locked in, and then the set begins. It's very difficult to turn it on right away. And that's why, I think the biggest mistake I see in a lot of gyms or most people's workouts, every set they do is so short. Short sets only work for really advanced trainees that have mind-muscle connections all over the body. Their bodies are in total alignment. There's proportion, there's symmetry, and they have flawless form and technique. That is not most people. But why do their sets only last 10 to 20 seconds, and then they wonder why their body never changes and that they're in pain? So there's my soapbox. Then we go into 10 minutes of lunging every two-minute block, and you're alternating sides here, or you can alternate sides, or you can go left leg for a minute, right leg for a minute. You've got variety there. But we go from reverse lunges, more glute ham dominant, to lateral lunges, more hip dominant, adductor and abductor, groin and outer hip. Then we go into forward lunge, more quad dominant. Then we go into cross under lunge, which is an amazing stretch for the piriformis and the external hip rotators. And then we go into a drop step lunge, which again is great for the glutes, but also opening you up to a different type of very multidirectional. And again, we are working the lunges across all three planes of motion, in terms of the sagittal, linear-based plane, the frontal, lateral plane, and the transversal rotational plane. And this gives you complete lower body development. This can be a bodyweight-only workout. In fact, I recommend it being so. If you do load, you can hold a dumbbell on one side at a time, shoulder level being more challenging than hip level, but stay light. And honestly, a weight vest would probably be better, because again, I don't want you being distracted by gripping. And I personally, like, this is the work I really just do with body weight. And it's amazing. And I can't say enough about it. Also great to do outside in the heat, get some vitamin D. All right. So that's GG20 lower body. Now we got GG21, and that is the core workout. This one is, this is so simple but deadly. And the goal here, advanced core training, bulletproofing the back or the spine, and we build stamina and endurance, which, by the way, is the most important part of core training. Anyone can hold a plank for 10 seconds, but being able to hold posture and positioning for a minute plus, that takes stamina and endurance, and that's what most people are lacking. They don't like, people don't like long-duration stuff. But good breathing, and ultimately a lot of the, because people like to shake and struggle, but a lot of the shaking and struggling is because their alignment's off. So their body is just like panicking, and they don't know how to breathe through it, and there's no calm and focus. So all the mobility and alignment and gait work we've been doing allows this to be, less difficult. I mean, frankly, less painful, less excruciating. And time will pass faster, especially with flow state breathing that we teach in our workouts. So Only 6 movements in this workout, and we stuck with extended 3-minute blocks of time here. I love 3-minute blocks of time. You know, I think in most cases, and by the way, that's actually like my favorite time period for most of my water work in the pool, just because you just get so many good contractions and you get so much heat into the system, you know, and you can keep things light and focused. I'm just a huge fan of it. I really am. And we start with the glute ham walkout and this kind of lateral leg drop where you kind of drop your leg straight to the side, which really stretches the groin muscles. Groin strains are very common in athletics, especially like agility court sports. So, you know, getting your body used to that position and that stretch under load goes a long way to preventing groin strains. It also develops the adductors. Love that drill. And again, the glute ham walkout, where basically you go from a bent knee bridge to a extended leg bridge and back. Just one of the best glute ham exercises, period. You don't need any equipment for it, you know. And by the way, we're starting to do some drills now with it coming up, where we actually doing it from a hang. But great way to, I always love, you know, when in doubt, start with the glute ham walkout for your workout, because it's going to offset all of the damaging effects of sitting. Stretching the hip flexors, activating the glutes, and just getting you ready to go. And then we go into the alternating leg L-sit from top. So we actually did that from the bottom in the previous month. Now we do it from the top. So it's just going to be a more challenging 3-minute block. And again, you can back off to going from the bottom again, but really going after those hip flexors and hip mobility. And hip flexor has been a big emphasis all year because they tend to be much weaker than the glutes, but they are opposing muscles. It's not as much about making sure they have equal strength. It's just that the imbalance in strength can't be so ridiculous, because when you have opposing muscle groups across a joint, in this case the hip, and one is so much stronger than the other, that's when you're going to get pain, typically back pain and also even knee pain with hip flexor weakness and tightness. So then we go into the hanging glute ham walkout plus row to pull up. God, this is a great exercise. So it's that glute ham walkout, except you're in an inverted row position. So now we're actually involving the back more and a little more stability challenge. And, you know, again, 3-minute block there. And one thing to note, anytime you're in kind of an inverted row position for extended periods of time, it's going to work your neck muscles. And if your neck muscles are weak, you might feel strain. One thing that helps is pressing your tongue into the roof of your mouth. That gives you more stability for the cervical spine or the neck area. Also, again, anytime we're doing 3-minute blocks, you got to be willing to rest pause. 5 to 10 seconds, no more than 20, get back into it. And that's part of the process. Rest pause is not failure. I guess you could look at it as a way, but failure is the key to success. How do you succeed without failure? You got to not be able to do something before you can do something. That's progress. But we do it safely. And essentially, within a single set, we can reach failure multiple times and get so much more out of the workout. And by the way, once you reach failure, the next time you reach failure, it's a lot quicker than it was the first time. So we can, it's an awesome way for efficiency. And again, it keeps things lighter and it keeps your ego in check. If you're someone prone, like most of our Gorillacorns, you know, again, if you take on a program called Gorillacorn Gains, Advanced Muscle Gain for Rare Beasts, you tend to be more of a type A individual. You tend to be someone who overreaches and is prone to overtraining, overdoing it. And you are probably an impatient person that wants things overnight. A lot of successful people have that trait, but the most successful blend impatience with patience. I talked about this in the Arnold podcast we did recently, but anyway, you'll love that movement. And the row to pull up is basically where you, from a row position, you move to a pull up and back. So it's complete back workout, hitting the back from multiple angles. It'll help build up with the pull-up. It's actually easier to do than the pull-up because your feet are on the floor, and it's great for these extended time under tensions. Then we have some the rolling side plank hip drop and quad stretch. So great for the obliques, and you know the rolling side plank is just going from left to front to right side plank and back with complete body control. But what we do here is we add a hip drop in the side plank position to really stretch the lateral glutes and the oblique muscles, also the lats. And then I have you grab the top leg with the top side hand and pull it into a quad stretch. So this one's great because a lot of times it happens people stretch their quads is they end up moving through their lower back instead of their hip. But when you're in a side plank position, the only way you can actually grab the ankle properly is in a perfect side plank, which means now you can only move through your hip. So it's actually a way to make, it's a much harder version of the stretch, but it auto-corrects your form and technique. Do the best you can with it. It's definitely a challenge. And then we have the plank transfer plus wall walk-up. So the wall walk-up, we worked that last month too in one way, but now I'm intensifying it by adding something like the plank transfer going from hands to forearm and back before you walk up to the wall. I look at that as like adding a weight vest to the movement or making it 10 to 25% harder than last month because of that pre-fatigue action. So you do that, then you walk up against the wall into a handstand against the wall and back. And again, there's a modification if you don't want to use the wall or don't have a wall or you're afraid. You can do it off a high box or bench like I show in the video. But that one's going to smoke you out. And then you finish with the side-to-side hang for time. Again, all rest pause focused here. But go really wide. And I actually like doing this underhand. And you could actually start underhand for like the first 90 seconds and back off to overhand. The underhand just gives you such good stretch into the external rotators of the shoulder. It's the ultimate test of your overhead mobility, being wound up underhand, wide grip style. And you're just shifting from one side to the other. And the key on this is as you go to one side, put as much of the load onto that as possible to allow the other arm to rest. It's just there to keep you stable and to assist you because a single arm hang is just so tough. And what we noticed last month, many of you probably struggled handily, pun intended, with the one-hand hang, alternating one-hand hang from last month. But that really was more of like a test for you. Where are you at right now? And if it wasn't good, it's going to be way better by the end of the year because we're working this progression monthly. And this is a great drill that I find. It's actually, technically, it's easier than the alternating one-hand hang, but you don't get the complete rest as you do one arm at a time. The other, both arms are always active, but really just shift all the way to one side and then focus on that big scapular retraction depression, pulling the shoulders down and back to almost kind of lift your chest up and lean back a bit to really max out the gains for the back. Awesome workout. So those are the Grillicorn Gains workouts. And by the way the Grillicorn Gains style works is you start with your Grillicorn Gains workout for that day, then you go into the corresponding Express workout. So they're going to be doing all these workouts too, but now we're going and we're focusing on Express. So, and by the way, I design these. What I first do is I design all the Grillicorn Gains workouts, and then I design the Express workouts based on what I did for the Grillicorn Gains workouts. By the way, if you're just doing Express only, it's not going to negatively impact your Express workouts. What it's doing is making sure that I'm rounding out the Grillicorn Gains workouts with different movements, avoiding repetition, but also these are more fat loss focused. So, but a lot of Grillicorn Gains members will say, and just so you know, there's no accident. You know, I'm not like these other fucking online trainers that just, you know, basically spit out AI style workouts. It just, I look at some of the programming out there and it's obvious to me what they do is they must have like their 50 favorite movements on a whiteboard and they're just like constantly interchanging. I mean, it's crazy, but people buy into it, you know, but when you're an engineer, when you engineer workouts, you're not just fucking putting them together and whatever they do, but I have an engineer mind. I build workouts as if building a blueprint for a building. I want the building to be spectacular, but I also want it to be able to stay in place and last. It has to have a great foundation. And everything is foundational first and base focused. Aesthetics come after, but there's no such thing as good aesthetics without a proper foundation, a good skeleton. So that is kind of how I look at things. And the workouts tend to be like in the first exposure, you'll do GG19, the upper body workout that we just talked about with X37. And this is your upper body already is going to be smoked. So a lot of these core routines, maybe on its own, you're going to be challenged no matter what at this point of the year. Like, this is the put up or shut up phase of the program. You know, there's modifications always, regressions always, and you can always fall back to what you did in previous months. But at some point, it is put up or shut up. We got to figure out who's really been putting in the work, who's been consistent, going from good to great. This is where we separate. This is the rare beast part of the program, okay? So it's got to be tough. But you will notice you'll be super challenged on the plank variations because of the pre-fatigue, and it allows your body weight only to feel like you have a weight vest on. So that's a big part of how things were structured this year, where, again, I wanted to build something where, you know, maybe there's a time of year and someone, you want to downgrade from Gorilla Corn Gains to Express. Well, it'll be seamless. You want to upgrade, it'll be seamless. They work together and they're meant to be done together, but they can also be done independently with great results too. So, but that's just so you know, in terms of how I program, I design the muscle gain workouts first, and then I build the fat loss workouts around that to maximize the effectiveness of both programs. So anyway, there's in this one, X37 body weight, and the way Express works, there are three bodyweight workouts each month, and then there are three minimal equipment workouts. You combine with that. Those six workouts, you rotate between every 14 days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Do them again. Try to beat your previous performance. But again, there's so much variety in there with at least some structure to see some progress. If you think you can just do a new workout every day and see progress, you can't, because you're not a master. You know, like, once you become a master of your body, that is possible. But even then, there has to be some structure in place. How else does your nervous system know what to adapt to? You know, if you're constantly changing shit up, the adaptation is very difficult. And adaptation is what creates change. Now, we don't want to do the same thing always, but it's also okay to do. I mean, there are some things I do every day without fail, like hang on a bar, get into a deep squat, you know, and I add variety around that in terms of type of variations I do, but it's still a deep squat, a hang, a plank, a lunge. Like, you know, I've got these foundational movements in place that I'm doing daily, and I just change the intensity and the variation and all that stuff around it, or how I'm flowing between them, all that stuff. But this one is, this is a great workout. Advanced core and cardio training, mobilize hips, improve gait, bulletproof the spine and shoulders. And the first four rounds of this are 30-30 left-right supersets. You go nonstop for three-minute blocks. You do basically three supersets for each of these. Rest 30 seconds, go on to the next one. We start on the ground with the glute bridge runner. Add an explosive hip flexor glute action while holding the bridge on one leg. So that's gonna really, like, I had one of the best glute hamstring burns I've ever had on the down leg, because the more explosive that running action, where you're basically taking the top leg or the elevated leg in and out, really increases the stability demands, and it really fires up the hamstring activation. You'll feel it. Foot elevated side plank runner. Again, a lot of these running positions, we're in plank and we're doing hip flexion extension as if doing gait training, right? Because the gait has been a big focus all year. That's going to just smoke the obliques. Quick switches are key on that one. Just kind of, it's not going to be perfect. It's probably going to take a couple seconds to get from your left to right. Just do the best you can and just keep moving. Psoas pogo jumps, very tough. You are doing basically a single leg hop in place while keeping your knee at or above hip level. And you might have to self-assist on these, as I show in the video, but again, like, it's one thing to be able to, most people can't even hold their leg above their knee with their foot on the floor, but it's extra difficult from a hop. But because of the training you're doing, this is within reach, you know, and all these movements, a good workout has, you know, at least a couple, if not a handful of movements that are within reach, meaning you may not be able to do them right away, but it's possible. They call this the Goldilocks zone or something. Basically, it means, like, it's right if something is so hard that it's beyond your reach, it's discouraging or demotivating. If something is so easy, it's also like boring. But when it is just outside or within your reach, you know it's possible. It actually helps focus you. It gives you a target, and it allows you to make real change. You just have to be mindful that even if you suck at it right now, you will get better at it. And again, anything you're struggling with, bring it with you on off days and work it in a more of a non-fatiguing, perfect form practice manner. The single leg runner, and we've done a version of this before slowly where you're on one leg balancing and you just basically a hinge and then come through and bring the knee into, basically a single leg balance hold with the other leg above hip level as if like finishing a running stride, but you're adding speed of movement. So again, we are adding more speed now. Tempo is a big variable to play with in your workouts, and you want to start slow and get stable and mobile and lock in that form and technique. Once that's there, we can add speed for more cardiometabolic and again, more stability challenge. Then we finish the workout after those 30-30 supersets. We go to two awesome flows or complexes, meaning it's a series of movements you do consecutively for time. I look at it like bodyweight cardio. So you run in place and you move to the floor for a break dancer. Then you come back up and do a reverse burpee where basically you walk back up to a stand and jump. And you repeat that flow for time. Honestly, much more fun than just running. Like people are, you could say it's 3 minutes. Well, people go and run for an hour plus, and there's no variety there. It's just running. This actually has you moving in multiple planes of motion, getting up and down, and it's a more complete workout than running because of the ranges of motion. We're using more upper body intensive, core intensive, and also more lower body intensive, frankly, because of the amounts of bends in the ankles, knees, and hips required to go from ground to stand in that manner. The next one is the skater jump to long jump to crawl flow. Hit a skater jump each way, then a long jump or broad jump, back pedal, then you crawl and come back and repeat that flow. So again, these are some of my favorite bodyweight cardio flows. 6 rounds, 20-minute full body fat burning workout. Let's get on to the next one. I got 18 minutes left before I got to get the fuck out of here. All right, here we go. The single dumbbell workout of the month, X38. Advanced get-up and chin box training, fix and balance between sides, and bulletproof the whole body. This is one of those things, like, if you don't like the get-up, I don't really care. It is the most important. I'm going to tell you a quick story here. And I hesitate to tell this story because it puts me in a positive light or makes me sound like, what a fucking hero or whatever else. But I just want to share it with you because if you don't understand the importance of what it means to get up off the ground and back safely without pain, I'm going to give you an example. And it just happened a couple weeks ago. The heat in the desert this year is extreme. It always is. But, we're having a record hot summer here across the country, across the world, frankly. But desert is next level. In the desert, it only takes 10 or 20 minutes for you to be in real trouble. If you're not conditioned to the heat, if you don't have access to water or shelter, if it's just something that's new to you, or if you're older. And I was doing my normal walk. And by the way, when I'm walking now, there's no one else out there. There's nobody out. Like, it's like an apocalypse. And it's great because I have the whole neighborhood to myself and I get to see all the views and stuff. And the only people I'll see are male people, male deliverers, couriers, and then they're in their car. And then I'll see pool technicians. I don't want to say pool guy, because I'm sure that's offensive these days, but I don't see any pool gals. I know they exist, but it's mainly landscapers and pool technicians. And that's it. And then me walking. But I was walking and I heard something like, right as I was walking by this house, "Help me." And I'm not trying to make fun of the voice, but I mean, it was someone like in trouble. And she was repeating it over and over again. Long story short, this poor woman, she was elderly and she fell while bringing in her trash and recycling. And she crawled she couldn't get up. And she had to crawl to, basically, I found her, it was crazy. I found her feet, her door, the door into her house from the garage was open. Her feet were inside the house, but she was laying on her back with her head on the cement floor in the garage. And mind you, like I'm shirtless and I'm sweating and I just shot a couple hours of content. It may have even been, I think it was some for your September workouts next month after this one. And I came in as like cautiously as I could because I didn't know what was going on, but I also didn't want to scare the person because of the state I was in. And she said she fell. I asked her, like, I asked a couple quick questions to know, like, did she hit her head and that type of thing? And how much did she want me to help her? And how much help did she want? And essentially, she was dead weight. Like, and just like, I don't mean to over-dramatize this, but I don't know exactly how long she was out there. I don't even know if she knew, but I think the effects of the heat had already taken effect. We're talking like 115, 120 range, also in the garage. So it's like, it's stifling. And she's older, and older people have a lot of trouble with the heat. And it kind of reinforces itself because they don't go outside. They avoid the heat or they go back home to, if they're lucky, to a colder place during the summer. But anyway, even if she could get up, I think the heat had taken its toll to the point where she couldn't get up. So I picked her up dead weight, got her into the house, got her on a chair next to a phone, got her some water, and essentially had I walked by, because it was my mid-afternoon walk, so that means all the pool and landscaping people are basically done. And the mail had already been delivered. People already picked up the trash. And no one else is walking. This woman could have been out there all weekend because it was a Friday. And if she couldn't have gotten up, she would have died. She would have died because she couldn't get up. Now, this is an extreme situation. And it just reminds me of, like, you know, I mean, and I'll tell you what really impacted me in this is the way she looked at me, and I could tell she was embarrassed. And first she asked me, she goes, "Who are you?" Because, I mean, I don't look like a lot of people in the neighborhood. And then she goes, "Are you the police?" And I said, "No, I'm a physical fitness trainer." It was pretty funny. But anyway, she ended up being fine, and she lived to see another day. But ultimately, had I not been walking by right there at the same time she started screaming, that woman would have been out there all weekend in the desert heat. And it's doubtful she would have made it. If you can't get up off the ground, like, this is a life or death situation. I know it's a joke because of the whole, "I've fallen and I can't get up." But we train the get up because you need a strategy to get up and down, not only today, but as you age, because you don't want to end up laying on your back in a garage in 120 degree desert heat with no help. And this situation can be, it doesn't have to be in the desert. What I'm just saying is, if you live in an isolated area or anything else like that, do you understand the importance of the get up? Now, we train it all year and we progress it all year. And by the way, an incident like that just really makes me appreciate the ability to move, the ability to do so mostly without pain. And it gives me a real focus as I age, because I do not want to end up, look, we're all going to end up, unfortunately, on the ground at some point. But I'd like to postpone it as much as possible, and I'd like to have a fighting chance. So anyway, left side get up to a seated press ladder to eccentric sit up. This one's fantastic. We did this last month, but now we're adding a press ladder. I mean, every time you get to the seated position, you're doing an additional press and you're standing on that same side for a full 3 minutes. So we're really trying to push your shoulder stamina to the next level here. You know, that one is just gonna, it really, like, especially, I get lean every summer, but I'm really kind of shredding out. And I'm starting to see, like, even new things I've never seen before in my shoulders, like in terms of just like, vascularity and just like, when you're doing basic movements and you're super lean, you can see all the muscles like flicker. And I'm seeing things I've never seen before in my shoulders. And a lot of it is because of, you know, these extended time under tensions and hanging, planking, get-ups. So it really, like, beyond the the lifestyle longevity benefits, I mean, the aesthetic gains and performance gains are off the charts. Then we've got a, oh boy, this one's killer. So single leg balancing while being able to do a hip hinge to row to curl to press on one side at a time. And you do 90 seconds in each arm, but you're on each leg for 3 minutes. So this is like, this is one of the biggest tests of balance you'll ever experience. And it's especially hard if you elevate your toes on a slant board. That one's going to test. And this is really a big balance workout. And balance is everything, right? Balance is what helps you not fall. Balance is what helps you recover from a trip or get up off the ground safely. So that's fantastic. And then we finish the final a couple rounds there. All 3 minute blocks here, by the way, 30 second rest between with a multi-level one arm thruster complex. So you do shin box thrusters for a minute, lunge thrusters for a minute, and then squat thrusters for a minute. You'll switch sides and repeat. And the hardest level is first on the ground, and you keep leveling up to what is a stronger position for you as you fatigue to extend the time of your attention. So just a genius flow right there. You got to appreciate. I got to bury through these quick. Sorry, guys. I'm about to go on vacation for a month. So I got to get these done. My final obligation before I check out for a month during the dog days of summer. Okay, X39 bodyweight workout here. And this is a continuation on basically squat mobility and down dog flows. And we add a bunch of cool variations and tweaks here. The multi-level down dog push-up ladder. So basically you go between doing a down dog on the hands to a down dog on your forearms, which is an extreme stretch for the upper back and another great challenge to add to the mix. Then there's this fantastic, one of my favorite bodyweight squat sequences where you start with a close stance, heels elevated squat for more quad stress with the slant boards you've been using. Close stance for 60 seconds, medium stance for 60 seconds, wide stance for 60 seconds, 3 minutes total. And God, it's such a good workout, man. Such a good way to connect to your quadriceps, to strengthen your knees, and to do it without any load on the spine. Oh, so good. And people will look at that and say, oh, this will not build muscle, but they're idiots. Because when people, every once in a while, see something like that, is like, this seems like more of an exercise in endurance than hypertrophy. It's like, okay, tell that to my huge fucking legs. I've shown pictures of what my legs used to look like before I started using this style of training, this metabolic bodybuilding style. I mean, they're like legitimately almost like twice the size. Tell that to my huge fucking legs. I don't have time to convert you. And frankly, I don't have time to educate you if you're not a member of thedailybj.com. I don't. And I don't really care to. Like, if you can't see the genius in what we're doing here, that's not my problem. All I can do is share. But anyway, we got the, can you tell I need a vacation? Fuck! Then we go into another down dog, alternating leg, but with the scorpion action, where basically we're adding a little more hip rotation into the equation, just intensifying the exercise. You'll see it in the video, but just again, the down dog is a way to get you to become an expert at the plank, but also to really stretch your hips, hamstrings, and ankle joint calf, which is so important to doing all the things we want to do. Then we got an insane pulsing bear squat, heel elevated squat sequence, 30 seconds each, pulsing in both positions back and forth. And bear crawls, as if you've done them before, you know they actually work your quads pretty hard, but especially if you're stacking it with some squat work. So you'll feel that. Then the uneven grip, alternating leg, down dog plus push-up. So this is kind of, I'm getting you ready for, you know, ideally one arm, one leg, and the opposite arm leg does it, down dogs. With this progression where you're going with an uneven grip, so one arm, one hand's on the floor, while the one other arm is either on a slant board or a ball, or you can go fingertips. Just getting, it's a progression, it's a stepping stone movement, and then we do the sumo squat walk again, but now we're going forwards and backwards while trying to stay low. Such a good finisher. This is, again, a great hotel room workout, a great workout to do anytime you're stressed out and don't want to crush yourself, but want to get really good mobility, but, you know, full body, sweat, burn, strength. This one will do it, man. Bodyweight basics, mobility and metabolism, stamina and endurance. All right, I got to bury these final three quickly. Okay, and then we have our one double dumbbells workout of the month. We don't do more than one because it's so taxing, and we want to have the longevity in place. But this one, and we actually move, I believe this is mostly the final, like we're doing 3-minute blocks. We're starting to, the rest of the year we'll be intensifying with shorter work periods. We'll maintain like some warm-up and cool-down sections or finisher sections with some longer periods, but we're going to be moving more to, you know, more intensity, faster, explosive stuff to finish off the year. But this is kind of our final extensive volume block to prep the body and the joints for this. But essentially, such a good mix of incredible core work here. We start with this tall kneeling crawl complex. So basically, you are walking on your knees as if your knees were your feet, but going from overhead to shoulder level to hip level. We've done that before on the feet, but now it's a new challenge on the knees to really level the pelvis. Then we have a 3-minute block of traveling single leg hinges, holding the dumbbells. So you're going to get, it's almost like doing a farmer's walk for 3 minutes, but you're doing a hinge on each leg and you're stepping into the next leg. So we get some gait locomotion going. We get some extended holding carry style. We're also really working the glutes and hamstrings and your balance. Then we kind of pair that up with the next round is a multi-directional marching press. So marching while pressing. So again, we start with simple skills and then we add complexity. And it's difficult to move the arms and legs at the same time, especially under load. So you'll experience that. Then like one of my all-time, like if I was like one of these cultish fitness people, I'd call this the Goddard dumbbell complex or something. Because one of the biggest signs, maybe not of a fraud, but just of someone who's really cult-like, they like to name exercises after themselves. Look out for it, and you'll see it. They tend to have like almost like a grotesque level of loyalty and their followers. Like their followers just like worship them like a god or a deity, and they name movements after themselves. Check it out. This is like the checklist of how to become a fitness cult leader. But I don't name exercises after myself because I'm not a fucking douchebag or a tool. So the row to high pull to clean to split jerk and seesaw lunge. We combine all these skills you've learned into one fluid full body complex. This will test you to the max. To the max. Keep the weights light, 10 to 25 pounds or less on this. Okay? Check your ego to the side. Then we have this new toes elevated changing grip hinge to row complex. So you're changing your grip every time you hinge and row. Especially tough with the underhand grip. You guys really like that test. Elevate the toes in the slam board to get a little more stretch. And then we got the 60-60-60 heels elevated squat drops set. This is similar to what we did with the bodyweight version I just talked about, but in this case, we're starting with two dumbbells loaded for a minute, then one dumbbell for a minute, then bodyweight at a faster speed for a minute. Like this is one of the all-time 3-minute squat workouts. This was actually the comment I got when I shared this and someone was, you know, questioning the validity of it as a muscle gain protocol. But this is way more challenging. Like I get way more pump and burn on this than I used to do when I do 5 sets of 10, 315 pounds on the squats that would just hurt my back and knees and would take me 3 to 5 days to feel right again. I actually work the muscles. It's easy on the joints and I can accomplish this with a pair of 25s and have huge, strong, beautiful legs without the joint pain. So you tell me who's the fucking idiot. Shit, I don't think I can get through these. I got two more. Let me see here. All right, I'll do this quickly. I'll try the best I can. X41, a bodyweight and band workout. So what I did, X41 and 42 now. X42 is a straight med ball workout, and now I'm adding in some band work to the bodyweight boxing style progression you've been working. And the real highlight on this one, we continue to work on our shin boxing and leg lifting, almost like kicking mobility, high kick mobility for hip mobility and just getting you ready. If you do want to kick, you can kick, but it'll make you a better boxer, puncher, more fit overall, especially for just the whole hip pelvic girdle. You know what? I'm going to pause quick because there's no way I can get this done in a minute. The way I have this recording, it stops after an hour, so I'll be right back. All right, sorry about that. We're back. X41, again, master the boxing basics, improve reaction speed, dexterity, rhythm, and coordination, and low-impact, fast-twitch fiber and cardio training. We start with the extended range of motion shin box. Full hip mobility here. Really trying to get that internal-external rotation going, but we extend the motion to get more flexion into the hip. You'll love that progression. And then again, like I mentioned before we stopped, I'm trying to get you guys able to do at least the high kick mobility. I think we're entering a phase where maybe we're going to learn how to kick at some point here. So we are not only going to box, but we're going to do kickboxing. It really, like, it takes time to kick and do it properly. So it's all about mobility, really, and range of motion and control. And it's such a test of, like, you really need incredible hip mobility in practice. I've been practicing a lot of this stuff in the pool, all this leg lifting stuff, because it supports, it assists, it resists, and we'll do it self-assisted on land. And it really, like, I'm telling you right now, you saw, like, if you're a fan of kickboxer, right, Jean-Claude Van Damme, just how high you could lift his leg but also stay upright, the separation he could get between his legs. Like, it requires such mobility and then be able to hold it with control. So I think it's impressive, and it's something we're really starting to work. We go into then, finally now, some real speed to our footwork, where you go fast forward or fast left and recover back right. Basically, we're trying to add some, almost like we're doing kind of intervals here, where you a burst and then a recover. So in the case of your footwork, you're just going to explode out fast, come back under control, and repeat for time. And we're going to progress this in many ways, but again, we start with really slow footwork. Get your feet set. Make sure the feet never cross, and you maintain that stagger. You can add a mini band there if you want to get more hip work, and also autocorrect your form, because again, if the feet come close, the mini band slips. So it tells you if you're fucking up. And then we have the final two rounds there, after all that really good cardio footwork, agility work. 5-punch combo ladder. And what I have you do here is you do 90 seconds with the band and then 90 seconds with body weight only. And you're doing a combo ladder, with basically a jab to a cross to a hook to the head to a hook to the body to a hook to the head. But you're going to react to what I call it. It might just be a one. It might be a 1-2. One, two, and one means jab, two means cross, three means lead hook, H means head, B means body. You guys know this at this point. If you're new to this stuff, you're like, what the fuck? That's why you got to start at month one. And we have our people react in real time to this, like a video game style. So you're going to get some contrast where once you're totally taxed with the band, you put the band on, continue with your body weight, you stand the same side for the full 3-minute round, then you switch sides and repeat. And it's a 5-punch combo now. So we're now... We started these reaction drills. It was one punch at a time, then two punches, then three, then four. We're at the 5-punch point right now. So just such a great workout. And I just wanted to put the band into this now. It's still, to me, like a bodyweight workout because, again, like it's a single band and a mini band. Like it's like technically bodyweight style training. But this was a big part of how we intensify the boxing workouts and get more now contrasting band and bodyweight as well. Final workout, joy. God, if you only knew how much time goes into each of these fucking, each month, like how much time is involved in designing the workouts, then the images, then filming the videos, then editing the videos and going back and forth with people and editing the videos and getting the videos up and then having to come back and talk to you about the videos and sending newsletters out about every single workout to promote the workouts. Wow. When I got into this just to like people to afford my key supplements and exercise, get paid to lift. If I would have known how much work it was going to be at the tender age of almost 41 now, I don't know if I would have done it, if I'm being honest. But poor me, poor BJ with his pool in the backyard living in Palm Springs, going on a 1-month sabbatical. So X42, med ball. God, I love the med ball. You know, one of the things that is a true test of like whether it's a good piece of equipment. So on this trip I'm taking, I'm breaking down my dip row bars, putting them in there. I'm bringing my slant boards, my squat wedgies. I'm bringing a single medicine ball. I'm bringing all my bands. and I might bring a pair of 25-pound dumbbells, but that'll be the first thing that gets cut. If I'm going to cut anything, it's going to be dead weight. All I need is my slant boards and my bands, and then the bar is just to do my body weight stuff. I'm gonna have to take a break from the pull-up bar if I can't fit it in the thing, but that'll be fine because I'll just do a lot of hangs and more rowing style stuff. I can always bring my TRX and find a way to hang anyway, or just go to the bars by the beach, the pull-up bars by the beach. But anyway, these tools, they travel well, especially, like, obviously on a trip, you're not going to bring your med ball, but the bands and the slant boards, absolutely. The TRX you can bring, or the really gymnastics rings. So here we go. Man, this is a good one. Shin box mobility using the medicine ball. Then this one of my favorite new drills for the abs and the spine is the straddle sit up and reach. What you do is you just kind of, you roll, you do like a sit and reach, rolling the ball forward to stretch the hamstrings and groin. And then you walk it all the way back into a sit up, but you keep tension into the ball. So it really allows you to tension up your spinal muscles one vertebra at a time. And just really fine tune your sit up and also your mobility. We got a reverse hyper coming. This is one of my, I'm going to do a podcast on this separately at some point. But reverse hyper is basically like doing, it's like a back extension, but driven through your legs instead of your trunk. And long story short on it, one of the top all-time powerlifting coaches recently passed away, Louis Simmons. He popularized what's called a reverse hyper. By the way, he didn't call it the Louis Simmons back movement or something. Like, he just called it the reverse hyper. All right, he doesn't have to name it after himself. We all know where it came from. The people that really need to know, Matt, you don't have to name it. Anyway, don't get me on a rant here of people naming exercises after themselves. But this was one of the key movements that he had. He had the most ever, like, 1,000-pound-plus squatters and deadlifters. And the reason their backs didn't totally blow out on them or that they could handle those types of loads, he credited it to the reverse hyper. He actually invented a machine called the reverse hyper that was plate loaded, where you lay your stomach on a box or bench, you load plates on, and then you hook your feet. Your feet are basically perpendicular to the tabletop you're on underneath you, and you lift your legs up to become level with your full body. And they would do like 300 pounds on this, and he swore by it as a way in which it was therapeutic to the back. And again, we're not going to load it up. We're going light and we're focused on my muscle connection and range of motion. But this is a drill. You can actually feel a unique, especially the center range of motion version off of a higher box. And the it's actually best done with the medicine ball, because you go on a lot of these machines, to do it properly, you have to actually have your delta, your fupa, you know, that area right from navel to your privates. You have to press into the whatever you're on to really get the motion and activate the glutes and prevent too much motion through your lumbar spine. But it can be uncomfortable. But the medicine ball, the Dynamax ball, because it's padded, it actually allows you to kind of sink into it, form into your pelvis, and it's much more comfortable. Buy into this exercise and focus, keep your toes down, not letting them go out. Such a great way to get a mind-muscle connection to the glute stretch, the hip flexors, and it's very therapeutic for your lumbar spine. If you have a history of back pain, I would just start doing 10 to 20 reps of those a day. Then we have a little ball roll push-up climber challenge. Climb with one hand elevated on a ball for full exhale, and then you switch to the other side and keep going for time. Some awesome glute high hamstring work on a straight-legged hip extension off the ball. Anytime you put the foot on the ball, too, you get it activates your stabilizers, right? Because the ball can roll in all directions, forward, backward, side to side, diagonally, rotationally. So you just get, it's a way to turbocharge activation, work all planes of motion simultaneously. And then we finish off with one of my favorite flows, holding a med ball, shin box to stand with a three-way slam. And then you come back down and you repeat that for time. So, and by the way, at this time, your September workouts are already been recorded and done. I've just got it. They're going to be edited and uploaded. But knowing what September is already at the time of giving you August, before you start August, September is going to rock your fucking world. And in August, I hope what August is for you, the dog days of summer, I hope this gives you some excitement and some fun. It's a dead time. So why not make yourself feel alive with some incredible workouts using the gift that you've been given, this human body and mind, that you can move in all planes of motions and directions, and the way you can get better and better, even as you get older with this stuff. It kind of blows my mind. So hope you enjoyed it. If I got a little bit ornery at points, I'm literally about to leave on a trip and I'm finishing packing, but I wanted to get this out to you because, you know, it is the fact. You're the people that I think about the most outside of my close family and friends. We're not friends. It's very important for me to say that because I don't know you personally, and I don't want you to consider me that. I am just someone who shares great workouts with you. But it's important to me that you get the best possible product and that it serves your mind and body and soul properly, because that's what these things can do for you. These are things you can control. The decision to do a workout or not do a workout, to take on a challenge when you can go to the easier path and just drink and smoke and eat and complain and whine and be a fucking, you know, cyst on society. No. You can at least put in the time for yourself to make yourself better. And ultimately, you know, I know this is not, we're not curing cancer here. Maybe an active lifestyle helps extend your life 3 to 5 years when it's all said and done. But to me, that's not what it's about. It's not about life extension. It's about maximizing the quality of life. And frankly, you got to find productive ways to fill the time. The human brain is addictive by nature. That's what has allowed us to proliferate like a virus over all these, these centuries. We need healthy things to become addicted to. I don't want you to overdo it. This is all you need. But, you know, this is, if you're going to be addicted to something, exercise is a great thing to be addicted to in a positive, healthy way. So I hope you enjoy it. I'm taking a month off. This is a big personal career achievement. It's something I've always seen, mainly with professors, but over the years, I've never had any time to like really take extended periods of time off. I really worked hard to get ahead on content and schedule things out so now I can take time, but things keep running. So that's what it's going to be. I'll be back in about a month. In September, I'll kick things off again here in terms of normal day-to-day routine. But if you remember the DailyBeige.com, sorry, just destroys me. But it's all set. You guys are rocking and rolling. I know you're going to enjoy these workouts. I thank you for your commitment and your discipline. Keep it going, baby. And I hope you enjoy. Life is short, man. Enjoy this summer. A lot of people are taking vacations and time off. I'm going to be taking time off from fucking social media, the black hole that is social media, and all the other bullshit that comes with running multiple businesses and shit like that. But I'm actually going to, it's going to be R&R, a lot of time at the beach, a lot of good eating, a lot of good activities outdoors with my wife and my dog. But I'm going to take advantage of just the time to just have fun with training again, in a more stress-free environment, explore, freestyle, come up with new stuff, and, really get back to what this originally was for me, which was just such a great outlet. And again, I consider it a positive addiction, and just, explore and get creative and have fun. So improvise, use it, as well. Life is short. Take advantage of the end of summer here and get time with friends and family, and, keep getting your workouts. Love you guys. Peace.